Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Amen. All right. Hey, I got a text message today, and I don't everybody jump at once now when I share the text message, okay? I thought I'd share it with you. Maybe this will be something you would like. And let me get it out here. The text message is right here. I printed it up. I got this text message that read, "My friend has two tickets to the Super Bowl 2018. Both are box seats. He paid $2,000 for both tickets, but he didn't realize when he bought them, it was going to be the same day as his wedding. So if you're interested, he's looking for someone to take his place." Okay, it's at St. Anthony's Church in Cambridge, Massachusetts, 3 p.m. Her name is Connie. She's about 5'6", 140 pounds, a good cook. She'll be the one in the white dress. Anybody? I told him I'd pass this on. Okay.
All right.
I promised you that we would pass out some cards. For questions for the pastor. Someone has suggested that Wednesday nights we need to have maybe 10 minutes at the end or so where we can have questions for the pastor. And I'll select one or two questions each week at the end of a Wednesday teaching, try to give a brief answer. Not every question submitted will be answered, but those the pastor can figure out the answer. Let's just put it that way. So if you'd like one of these cards, and you just raise your hand, and Joe here will see that you get one. You might get somebody to help you there. And then if you would, Joe, would you be the one to collect the cards at the end of the service, sir?
Yes, sir.
Great. So just see this gentleman, and he'll take care of you. All right. So if you have a question you've always wanted to have addressed, and bring it up, okay? Welcome, Laura. It's her first time here on a Wednesday night. This is Chris's wife. And you have a couple children in the back, right? You have a couple children? You got one in the oven. How precious. When is the baby due? June? Wow. Congratulations. That's precious. That's precious. Well, good to have you, honey. And good to have baby. Do you know if it's a boy or girl yet? It's a boy. Praise God. You have a name?
Cash.
Money?
Just cash.
Is money going to be his nickname? Cash.
Yeah.
Welcome, Cash. We're glad you're here. Amen. All right, brother. Amen. We're dealing with the subject of identity in Christ on Wednesday nights. I did not realize how important this teaching is until really just a few weeks ago. And one of my callings as a pastor and teacher, I believe from the Lord, is to get you and me established in our true identity. This means to see yourself the way God sees you. Bless you. Your identity in Christ is more rooted in being than it is in doing. And I'll try to elaborate on that. If you did not get one of these little confession cards, I read this quote. I quote it to myself now. I've memorized it. Every day, when you'd like one, we're going to have it on the screen. If you'd like one of these identity cards, I have a few left. Just raise your hand, and we'll get those to you in the back there. Okay, Cindy. Hey, Andrew, would you mind doing me a favor, brother? Would you just walk around and give these to... I've been praying for you, by the way.
Thank you, I need it.
You got it. You're covered. Just lift your hand, and Andrew will come around to you. Okay. Now, we're dealing with the Father's heart for you. How important this is to know the Father's heart for you, because I'll elaborate as we get going. Okay. Let's bring up the identity statement, and we've been breaking apart a little bit of this every week, and tonight we're on the part I'm fully pleasing to God, and how important it is for you to really know that, and I'll explain why in just a little bit. But for now, I'd like us just all to stand up, please. And I want you to speak this out. This is what I do every day in my morning time with God. I make this confession. Christianity is a confessing thing. It's what we do. We speak out words. The written word was first the spoken word before it was the written word. But it's the written word, so you can make it the spoken word. It's important to speak out things out of our mouths. And that's how we get it established in our head and in our heart. Okay? So I'd like you to boldly say this with emphasis and with passion in your heart. Here we go. My identity in Christ. Because of Christ's redemption, I am a new creation of great worth. I am deeply loved by God. I am completely forgiven. I am fully pleasing to God. I'm totally accepted by God. And I'm absolutely complete in Christ. You may not know that, but that's your identity. Go ahead and be seated. It's important to ask yourself the question, do I believe this? Amen. I'm glad you do. Because, we get a lot of knowledge, and because we have knowledge doesn't mean we necessarily believe it. Okay. And the warning from the Bible, from Prophet Isaiah, is this. If you will not believe, surely you will not be established. If you don't believe what God says, you won't be established. Circumstances, difficulties, trials will come along and just knock you off your feet. So it's important to really question myself. Do I believe what I say I believe? Knowledge is not the same thing as believing. Because sometimes when people, I start preaching on a familiar text of Scripture, I can just see it almost in their eyes or their faces where they'll say, oh, no, I know that. I've heard sermons. I already know this. I know these Scriptures. I know this message. I know this. And you don't realize what you're doing at that moment. You're quenching the Spirit of God. Because now it's like the Holy Spirit is, in essence, dealing with you, and He's saying, I don't like your attitude. And because you have a know-it-all attitude, you can't learn anything new because you already know it. And so it's very important to understand that knowledge is not the same thing as believing something. I know what I believe, but am I believing what I say I know? That's a good question. Now, it's important to understand identity in Christ, because in God, being is more important than doing. And if you've been a Christian for a little while, you'll begin to understand what I'm talking about.
we can get lost in doing things and think that what our doing is doing in our lives is our true identity. For example, I'm a pastor. Okay, I'm called by God to do this, pastor, teacher. But I can't base my identity, my person, my true who I am as being a pastor. Because a pastor is what I do. It's not who I am. And the danger is, if I base my identity on what I do, I'm an engineer, I'm a maintenance man, I'm a teacher, I'm a whatever. If I base my identity on what I do, then the moment that you're not doing what you claimed was your identity, you're kind of lost. I know guys in the ministry that have been preachers all their life, and then all of a sudden, you know, they resign or they're not doing that anymore, and they're lost. Like, I don't know who I am anymore. They wrapped their identity up in their doing rather than in being. See, I'm a pastor, it's what I do, it's not who I am. One day, what if I no longer pastor a church? Am I just kind of, I don't know who I am anymore? No, not if I know my true identity. So some people are lost when they find their identity in doing something for a living. Mike's an electrician. Kelly's a teacher. Okay, that's what you do, but that's not who you are. Okay, now, I've learned that many times I made my identity as a result of things I'd even gone through in life. Okay, I saw myself through the eyes of betrayal, or I saw myself through the eyes of hurt, or I saw myself through the eyes of rejection. And in turn, as a result of that, I was continually striving for approval of people. And so I would get into doing. I got to get into doing so they'll like me. And when I learned that these beliefs that I was believing were lies, they were not who my true identity was, the devil wanted me to attach my identity to what was happening in my life or what was going on in my life. And people do that. They say, well, I'm a failure. Well, I'm a loser. And I can't do this. And I can't do that. And I'm not worth anything. And they're getting it all attached into what's happening around them. And that's the lie of the enemy. Are you understanding? And then my eyes were filled with light when God revealed to me and opened this truth to me like never before, how important it is as your pastor to get you rooted and grounded in your true identity. Amen. Then you can't be shaken. Amen. When things change in your life. And so I realized this truth and how God sees me. Because I needed to understand that. That's my identity. So there's a lot of things we get in our life that comes from a wrong identity by not knowing the Father's heart towards you. And that's why we're doing this study on identity. Now, if what I'm about to say to you, get ready. If what I'm about to say to you, it's kind of hard for you to believe. And you balk at it. First, when I say these words, if it's hard for you to believe and you kind of, I don't know if I can, then the problem is you still don't have your identity in Christ settled yet. Okay, so here's a test for you. Okay, so what I'm about to say, here it is. Pay attention to how your soul reacts to what I'm about to say about you. When you first hear it, here it goes. When God looks at you, He does not see anything wrong with you. When God looks at you, He doesn't see anything wrong with you. Now, He sees what's missing in your experience of Him, and He's committed to helping you unpack the Father's heart toward you. But when God looks at you, John, He doesn't see anything wrong with you.
It's a shame we don't see that. Yeah. How did your spirit react to that? How did your soul react to that? You mean God doesn't see anything wrong? He knows everything. I mean, see how you're going around in your mind and you're thinking? We say of people sometimes, we say, well, they got a lot of baggage. You ever hear that term? Yeah. Meaning they got a lot of unsettled issues in their life. They're carrying a lot of baggage. Well, if they're a Christian, let's put it in a different way. Let's say they have a lot of luggage, not a lot of baggage. You may have a lot of luggage. It means you may have a lot of things in your life that haven't been properly unpacked yet by the Father to show you some things and some experiences with the Father you have yet to experience. See, you have some luggage. Everybody's got some luggage. Okay. See, the issues you have had in your past or the issues you currently have in your life right now, the things that you wish would just go away, they are actually the very things, when unpacked with Christ, will reveal Himself to you in a way that you've never known before, in a personal and a unique way. Now let's get real personal. Let's say you have an alcohol addiction. Okay? So when stress comes into your life, you go to the bottle. Because you're trying to cope with stress. And that's how you've learned how to do it over the years. And then you drink too much and you do things that you wish you hadn't done. And then people might even say to you, you're an alcoholic. But God ain't going to tell you that. He sees you. He sees what you're lacking. He sees you in Christ. If you're a Christian and you are fully pleasing to Him in Christ. Now, how did that rub you? A few years ago, I wouldn't believe that. I'd say, Okay. Now, there are some experiences. If you have an addiction like that, there's some experiences you're missing in Christ. You haven't had yet. You need to have. That would help you walk in freedom over this addiction. So you wouldn't have to go back to that when stress comes in your life. And Jesus is so committed to you. He wants to help you unpack your luggage and find your freedom. I love this about the Lord. This is why this will set you free from shame and guilt, embarrassment over issues in your life if you grab a hold of this. Jesus is called the Redeemer. You know what a Redeemer is? Have you experienced Him as a Redeemer? If you haven't, then you're missing something. The Redeemer, He has taken the bad things in your life, the bad experiences, the bad habits or whatever, and when you let Him unpack your luggage, you get real with Him and get honest with Him. He says, I can't do this. Jesus, would you help me? He says, well, sure. I'm glad you asked. I've been waiting for you. Let me show you the strategy. Let me show you the Spirit's way of doing this. And then He comes along and He takes that thing and He unpacks it so that you can find your freedom. And here's the neat thing about the Redeemer. He takes those things that we were embarrassed or shamed about, and He turns it into your ministry. Now you got experience. You are the one that actually ministers to other people that were in the same thing you were in, and you're able to set them free.
Because you know the way. You've let Christ unpack your luggage. You don't come to church and put on a mask like you got it all together. We already know the truth about you. Amen. And me. And when you've experienced the Redeemer, you really finally step out of that fear of man, and you are free to talk about that bondage that you were in. You're free to talk about, boy, that I was in some mess. I was messed up. And I'd go to church and try to cover it up, act like I had it all together, and I was still in bondage. Is that making any sense to anybody?
Okay.
This all ties to your identity. Now, this phrase on the board, can you see it? Says, in Christ.
Yeah.
In Paul's letters, Paul's epistles, this phrase, in Christ, is used over and over and over, probably hundreds of times. And he specifically uses it in his letters to unpack what our salvation really does for us. It, for example, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new, if you're in Christ. Paul, with these two words, unlocks the mystery of what it means to be a Christian. He unlocks the mystery of what salvation really is. It is us being placed in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus being placed in us. Now, there are two ordinances in the church. Do you know them? Baptism and Lord's Supper. Two ordinances. In other words, two things that Christ commanded us as the church to make sure we do.
Amen.
Baptize those who get born again. Baptize them in water. Water baptism. And make sure, as often as you do this in remembrance of me, communion. These two ordinances are prophetic acts of what it means to be in Christ. When a person is baptized, I'm pointing over there because behind those black curtains is our baptistry. When a person is baptized, Romans talks about how they are buried with Christ in baptism. They're raised in Christ into a new life. It's a prophetic act of what it means to be in Christ Jesus. You identify with Him. That's your identity. I'm buried with Him. All my sins were buried with Him. I identify with the death of Jesus. I identify with the burial of Jesus. I identify with the resurrection of Jesus. That's my identity. So when that person is baptized, that's what's going. It's a prophetic act.
Amen.
When you go to the communion table, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He said, this is my body. This is my flesh broken for you. You eat this. And then he said, this is my blood in the new covenant. You drink that. You are what you eat. And now Christ is in you, and you are in Christ Jesus. Are you seeing? The identity is prophetically acted out again every time we go to the Lord's Supper. Oh, I'm in Christ. Don't let me forget. Jesus said, every time you do this in remembrance. Remember who I am and what I've done for you, and remember who you are. So now you're in Christ. So we have this phrase here that we see over and over. Anytime you read the Bible in any of Paul's letters, and you come to that one of those sentences that say something about in Christ, you ought to take your pen and you ought to circle it. Because there is a declaration that you should make with your mouth out of that phrase wherever you see the words in Christ Jesus. That's your identity. And you should make a declaration with your mouth. It's a great study to go through Paul's epistles and circle everywhere you see in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And then read that declaration as a personal declaration of who you are. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what our identity statement says. Old things passed away. All things become new. Okay. So Whenever we have this term in Christ, it is revealing everything our salvation accomplished. It's in Christ. We're in Christ now. Everything that our salvation accomplished is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're not free from a certain bondage, it's simply because you have yet to experience the truth from a revelation about Christ in that particular area of your life. That's all it means. You have yet to experience the truth, the revelation. In church, we hear a lot about dedication. We always want, you know, dedicate yourself to the Lord and dedicate yourself to the Lord. And I've heard that, you know, all my Christian life. Dedicate yourself to the Lord, dedicate yourself. And I used to get up and every day I just rededicate myself. I rededicate myself. And that's not a bad thing to do. That can be good. But over a period of time, I don't know about you, I began to think that my dedicator was broken. I dedicated everything I knew to dedicate, and still things weren't working right. And so I'm going to tell you something that's a truth that most Christians do not know. You need more than dedication. I know from experience. Okay. And Paul tells us what we need in his prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. It actually goes on, but just a portion of it. This is a prayer that every believer should pray. You ought to pray until you get it. You ought to pray it until you say, I believe this. You ought to pray it until you see it manifested in your life. And he said, this is the prayer. I pray, and he's praying for believers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, because that's where everything's at. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which He's called you, the plans for which He has for you. Now here's the truth. Here it is. Don't miss this. Dedication's not enough. Your dedication to God is directly related to your revelation of God. That's deep right there. You need to go home and unpack that one. To the degree that you dedicate yourself to God is the degree of the revelation you have of God. And if you find you're really not all that dedicated, it's because you are lacking in revelation of God. And that's why he prayed, I pray the eyes of your heart will be flooded with light in the knowledge of Him. All we need is more revelation of Him, and He's already provided it. It's available to anybody. Your dedication to God is directly related to your revelation of Him. Our personal revelation of God is what fuels our dedication. It's what makes us want to be dedicated. We have a revelation of who He is, what He's like, and we've experienced Him. And as a result of that, now I'm dedicated. You can tell people, you ought to be dedicated to God. Now, amen, amen. And they'll come up to the altar and they'll dedicate themselves, but it ain't going to last long unless they have a revelation of God. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Okay. How many of you have had experiences with God that's hard to explain to other people? How many of you had experiences with God? You need to have experiences with God that are unexplainable. You need to have God give you revelation. You just know God's given you revelation, and you can't even explain it to people how you know you had revelation. You had experience. People can argue theology backwards and forwards, but you can't argue with someone's experience. You can argue theology with me all you want to and say, well, I think you're wrong about this, and you should, that's fine. But you can't argue with my experience I've had with God. You can't take that away from me. A man with a testimony or an experience with God will never be at the mercy of a man with an argument. Ever. So what do we need? Revelation. Personal revelation from God about who He is and what He wants to be in my life. So we're saying my identity is based upon Christ's redemption for me. We base that upon Scripture. It's been revealed. I am a new creation of great worth. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If I believe that, then that's mine. I own it by experience. I am deeply loved by God. How do you know that? Well, I know the revelation of Scripture, but I know it from experience. I'm completely forgiven. Because He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know it from Scripture, but I know it from experience. I'm fully pleasing to God right now without doing anything. Do you know that when Jesus was baptized, before He ever did a miracle, before He ever did anything, the Father said, "This is My Son in whom I'm." He didn't do anything. So, I want you to grab hold of this last part, especially tonight. I am fully pleasing to God because of Christ's sacrifice. That's what makes me fully pleasing to God. Not my doing, but my being. Now, based upon Romans 5:1, let's look at that. It says, therefore, since we're justified, that means given right standing with God, through faith, let us grasp the fact and enjoy that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, justification in theology means that I am made right with God completely. Just if I'd never sinned, justified. Justification means God's not only has He forgiven me of my sins, but He's also granted me righteousness to my account. And because of justification, I bear right now Christ's righteousness before the Father. I can boldly say with confidence, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. And therefore, I'm fully pleasing to the Father. Without doing anything, I'm fully pleasing to Him. Now, we say we're saved by grace. Is that true? Grace is a gift, right? So we're saved by grace as a gift, not because of my performance. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. It's a gift. God saved you by His grace when you believed. You can't take credit for that. It's a gift from God. Now, let's tie this together. Okay. Because of justification, the Bible says we're justified in Christ. Because of justification, I am completely forgiven and I'm fully pleasing to God. This means I no longer have to fear failure. I can't fail in Christ. I can't fail God in Christ. I don't need to fear failing God when I'm in Christ Jesus if I know my identity. Because I'm justified by Christ. Because of reconciliation, we've been reconciled with God through the cross. I'm totally accepted by God without doing anything. That means I don't have to fear rejection. God will never reject me. So I shouldn't fear rejection from people. I am. Yeah. And because of propitiation, that word we brought up last week, remember, God has added something to my life. I'm deeply loved by God and I no longer have to fear punishment. Wow. This ought to set you free. And because of regeneration, because I've been born into a new creation that never existed before, I don't ever have to feel shame and guilt over my past. Because that person is dead. I'm a new creation. I remember when we went... I think we were just right out of Bible college and we went to my 10-year high school reunion. Okay. My 10-year high school reunion. I hadn't been, been back to see all my old buddies and stuff for 10 years, you know. So we go back to Daytona Beach. We have this 10-year high school reunion and you wear these little name tags and they have your picture of what you look like in high school and your name, because everybody changed even within 10 years. And in what you do for a living. And I was a youth minister. So some of my old buddies had come up to me and knew before that I wasn't anything like a Christian in those days. And they come up to me and they said, "Hey, Washburn," he said, "oh, how you been?" We shake hands and all that. And they look at me and said, "What do you do for youth minister?" "Oh, come on. You have always been a jokester. What do you really do?" I said, "I'm a youth minister." "Oh, come on, man. What do you really do?" "No, I'm a youth minister. That guy that you used to know 10 years ago, he died. And I was sent to be his replacement. And I didn't exist then. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus." And they looked at me with their martinis and all that and kind of going, "Boy, you a strange person." Because everybody has the truth. Amen. I'm a new creation. Amen. Come on up here and say, sure.
I just want to share a scripture verse that I shared with the ladies last night. And if you'll leave that up there, because it's just going to go right with this. It's Isaiah 61, verse 10. And it says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation." It doesn't say a garment. It says garments. And I consider, if you'll put that back up, that was just on there.
Yeah, the last, put that last slide back up.
This the last slide, like the justification,
yeah.
All that. Those are the garments of salvation right there that he has put on us. When I saw that, I said, "Oh Lord, those are our garments," because it doesn't just say one garment. It says he has clothed us with garments of salvation. And this is the best part, and no one can take this off of us. "He has clothed me with garments of salvation, and he has wrapped a robe of righteousness around me."
Hallelujah.
In yourself, you're going to think, "Oh, but I'm not righteous." It doesn't matter. He put the robe on. He put the robe on. So that robe of righteousness is on you this very night. And when you do the thing that you think is so bad that surely God's going to rip the robe off, he does not. He does not. Because what he does is perfect. What he does is complete. And he will not be an Indian giver and give you something and then snatch it back. He just won't do that. So I just want you to know, there you go. Those are your garments.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you, honey. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Praise God. So, instead of telling everybody to be dedicated, 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 we need this. We need a revelation of the way God sees you. Right now. The way he sees you in Christ. And that will fuel your dedication to God.
Yes.
Wow, Lord. And that's what makes a difference. That's what makes a difference. Well, that's it. I'm done. Keeps you, that'll dedicate you to say, no, I want to. Because I see how much God loves me. Okay. So speak these cards out over yourself. Amen. Speak them out, my identity in Christ. And you'll be surprised. It takes a while for truth to get in you. So you really, really, really believe it, see. And now, are there questions, those cards that you filled out, do you want to turn back in? And I'll take those and I'll look them over. And next week I'll pick one or two and we'll answer any of those. If you want to take them home, that's fine. Just bring them back and give them to Brother Joe. Okay. All right. Just one card. Boy, I can answer that one. All right. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 That's good, my brother or sister. How God sees you is so important for your freedom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And praise God. That's a testimony, really. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Be sure to say hello to Laura, and if you're her first time here, and Chris, and Baby Cash. Hey, baby can hear you in the womb. That's why you talk to the baby. Speak life to your baby. That's why when the baby comes out, he instantly recognizes your voice. He's been listening to you for 9 months, so he knows who you are, you know. And so we just bless this little child and bless mama and daddy and bless their family, Lord. And now, Father, we bless this congregation tonight. I thank you that you've sent me to teach on the true identity. And I pray for revelation in each one of their lives that they'll get it. Their true identity in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. God bless you. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.